Good morning. Boy, it's a good-looking crowd this morning. A good-looking crowd. In fact, praise the Lord. As we always do at first of every month, we recognize our birthdays and anniversaries. So I want to do that this morning, if I may. And our birthdays for April: Shelby Barbie, April the 19th. Ricky Edwards, April the 21st. Charlene Harville, April the 22nd. Alec Louder, April the 24th. Jason Linker, April the 28th. Have I forgotten or left anyone out at all? All right. If you'll give me a key over there, sir, where Miss Brenda, we'll sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God.
Anniversaries for April, Jim and Janice Hopkins, April the 10th. How many years, Brother Jim?
20.
20 years. God bless you. That's wonderful. And then Tim and Diane Smith, April the 29th. Let's give them a hand this morning. All right, if you would please, stand with me. Let's do the doxology this morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning, a good crowd, as Leonard said, and it's nice to be in the house of the Lord. And I miss breakfast. Most of us probably had a little breakfast at home, but it wasn't as much fun as it was last week. But it's great to be in the Lord's house, and those that are might be in the parking lot or anyone that might be listening later on the website, we want you to know you're always welcome as we come together to serve the Lord, worship the Lord, honor the Lord, hear from the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. May we pray. Father, we echo the words of the psalmist. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Father, we thank you for this fresh new day, a gift from you. Father, may we use this day to please you. May our lives give forth the love of Jesus to all that we meet. May our words and our songs be of praise and honor to our Lord Jesus. May our ears be attuned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And may our hands and our feet be quick to obey the voice and do the ministry that you lay before us. Lord, we thank you that we don't do those ministries in our own strength, but in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray now your blessings upon each one of these family that have gathered here, each individual, your touch upon their lives, that you might meet the special needs that each one has out of your love, out of your wisdom. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ed, appreciate it very much. Let's all stand as we do each Sunday and do our hymn singing this morning, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. If you would please stand. said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I look out this morning and I see some great, great things happening. And I see some visitors that we need to welcome this morning. And Chris, you have something in your holding this morning that's very, very sweet and very important. Why don't you introduce this special new neighbor of ours and new friendship of ours? Christine? Wait. Yeah. 6 weeks? We welcome you all this morning. And Miss Barbara over there, the great-grandmother, I want to tell you, this is wonderful, isn't it? It's good to have you back in church this morning. It's good to see you. Good to see you all. And Chris, I know you're proud and just happy. I can see the buttons popping off your vest there. But we welcome you all as visitors this morning, as our special guests, for sure. Miss Rosina, it's good to see you back in church this morning. Good to see you back healthy again. Sitting beside you, Mr. Tony and Ruth, I'm glad to see you all. Good to see you back in church this morning. So happy, happy, happy to see you. All right, and so I think anybody ever, everybody else has been here pretty often, so we'll welcome you all this morning. It's good to see you. So I've got a lot of announcements I want to share with you at this point in time. Today's kind of a busy day. As soon as our worship time is over today, I'd like to meet with the church council. The church council, if you would please, if you'll meet down in the fellowship hall, I will have more room for that. Now, all of you know who the church council members are. You should know. I've contacted all of you to know who you are. So try to come down and be with us down in this meeting at 11 o'clock. And we'll have you out in plenty of time that we can still beat the Methodists to the food bar. So don't worry about it. We'll be all right. We won't mistreat you that way. I promise you that. So it won't take long. That's the famous last words, right, Jeff?
Yes.
But it should be all right to do that. All right. Now the church council at 11, and then at 5:30 we will have discipleship training. This will be our first time of discipleship training. Pastor Ed will be directing the discipleship training at 5:30. So be here at 5:30, and then 7 o'clock is choir practice. So choir, come on down, be with us. We need you here, and so we can be ready to start singing again. So you'll be hearing a lot from the choir over the next coming weeks, and so let's be here at choir practice so you can do that, if you would please. Okay. Annie Armstrong. Annie Armstrong is still going to be continuing on through the month of April, so you still have time to do that and be able to be part of that. So be sure you do that. NC Baptist Children's Home Spring Food Drive is also in place, and we'll be collecting money and food for the NC Baptist Children's Homes. And if you will give money or food, and you can put your money in an envelope, and if you desire to bring food and other items, please be sure to have it to here on not be out of date and all of that good stuff. And I know you wouldn't do that anyway. So these items need to be at the church by Sunday, April the 21st. So keep that in mind too, if you would please. Youth night schedule. You can see that. Grant, lost Grant. Didn't he do it? So the change in that to Wednesday night, right? So youth night meeting will be Wednesday night at 6. So it was originally scheduled for tonight, so take that off the schedule. Be here Wednesday night at 6. 6:30, I'm sorry. Okay, baptismal service. We have a baptismal service that will be here, and it'll be for Hudson Snyder, and so we're looking forward to that. And I know you are, and so that will be great to do that. So, all right, we also want to be sure that you understand something about the tithe and offerings, and that you may place your tithe and offerings. We stop doing the ushers and taking up the offering, as you all well know by now. But there was, so if, in case you just wonder what to do, we've got the plates down here on the table. Just drop your tithes and offerings in, your gifts, right in those plates, and Miss Brenda will all take care of that thing for you, and it will be fine. Now, we also have an announcement, Jeff, if you'll put up there, that there's a date there that they've been asked to save the date. I'm going to ask you, well, this is it's a secret, and we're not supposed to tell anybody. So I don't know how to do that other than, well, I'll just let you all read it. I'm not going to repeat it. So Does that make sense at all? I mean, I'm trying to be that way. So read that if you would, please, and then you'll have it. And then we won't have it out on the web right there. So we won't do that. Okay. All right. That's interesting. But we'll get that done. All right. Now we also, okay. We also have a birth announcement here that I want you to be able to see. This is the birth certificate, Elizie Claire Smith, and born February the 21st, and she was 7 pounds and 20 inches long. Proud parents, Collie and Daniel Smith. Proud grandparents, Darren and Crystal Hatley, Tim and Kathy Smith, and proud great-grandparents, Jewel Hatley. So Jewel Hatley is a great-grandchild. All right. Have I left anything out? Yes, Kathy. Okay. Pastor, did you have anything you want to add on discipleship training?
We'll probably meet in fellowship all tonight since the youth won't be there. But other than that, we'll be meeting in one of the old classrooms, maybe the one we had, y'all had for a Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. Maybe the one,
you mean in the basement?
In the basement. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So y'all be here for that, okay? 5:30. Okay, Robert, I think you've got something you want to share with the church. So on behalf of the building grounds. Announcements that I need to share? Any at all? Okay. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. I think most of you have heard by now, but in case you haven't, Rita Linker's mother, Kathleen Udy, passed away yesterday. And so we need to keep all the family in our prayers and do that this morning for sure. Are there others this morning? Any special requests that we need to lift up before the Lord? Yes.
Family of
Sherry
Pugh,
P-A-U-G-H, I can't pronounce it. All right, do it again. Spell again, please, Lori.
P-A-U-G-H.
Okay, Pug. Okay, Pug.
Candice Reservoir.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Gotcha.
And also, y'all remember Justin and Casey Jackson. They're getting packed up, and Justin actually is retiring. His last day is Friday.
All right. So I know you'll be happy to see that. That's good. Well, you've waited a long time, haven't you?
I have.
Yes, sir. Jim.
Yes, we need to add Betsy Gibson to the prayer list. That's Janice's daughter-in-law. She's been diagnosed with ALS.
Betsy
Gibson.
But I know Gibson. I got that.
Betsy.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. Julian Mike. Yeah. All right. Others? Yes. Okay. Good deal. Tony, you're serving somebody bigger than that, aren't we? It's going to be okay. Anybody else this morning?
Hello, I forgot to take Amanda Wallace off the prayer list.
Okay, praise report.
Praise report.
Okay. All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity that we have to worship. We thank you, Lord, for these people who came this morning, who got up this morning and said, we're going to church and we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to thank him for the blessings. And Lord, before we ask you for one thing, Lord, before we ask, we need to say thank you. Thank you for all the blessings that we have, the fact that we're here this morning and able to do it. Knowing, Lord, that there are those who would love to be here but can't. And Lord, we ask that you would be with those in the nursing homes and those with disabled. And we ask, Lord, that you would give them courage and give them peace. And then, Lord, as we go forward in our service today, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon our service. And be with Miss Kathy as she sings for us this morning, and Pastor Ed as he comes with the word. But Lord, there are those that we need to mention. We need to mention today, Lord, to you specifically, who have asked for prayer, and we ask specifically for them. We pray, Lord, for Rita Linker's family, for the death of her mother. We pray for the family today, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Sherry Poog, Lord, who has passed away, the family. We pray, Lord, for Justin as he is coming back home after retirement in the military. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we give him a good adjustment to his new life, and they will find peace and happiness wherever they decide to go, Lord. We hope it's here, but Lord, we pray, Lord, for them as they come in. It will be a new adjustment for them, and we pray for them. We pray for Betsy Gibson, Lord. We pray for her and lift her up to you this morning, Lord. We know there's a need there. And same way with Sandy Smith Up Church. We pray for her this morning, and we pray for her and lift her up to you. Julie and Mike, Lord, and Mike is suffering, Lord, and we know, Lord, he's going through some trying times. And we know, Lord, if the way the world looks at it, Lord, his future looks kind of dim. But, Lord, we know that you're stronger than that. We know you're the great physician. And we know that, Lord, you're in charge. We pray for your will to be done. And then, Lord, we pray for Tony, Lord, as he goes for his treatments, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch his body. Lord, we ask for healing for his body, Lord, if it be your precious will. And now, Lord, as we go forward again, we're so thankful for a time that we can worship, a time that we can stand up and say, Lord, we believe who you are, and you're the awesome God who controls it all. And now, Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Miss Kathy, if you would please come. Kathy, part of the praise team. And Kathy's one that I can always go to and say, Kathy, things that I had planned didn't work out for this week, so would you come and bail me out again? And she's always there, and she always does it. So, Kathy, thank you.
Well, I'm going to include the congregation on this one, okay, because I sing it a lot. So it's one of the ones that hopefully you've heard enough, and you can sing it with me. And coming off of the backs of Easter, this is just such a wonderful song for us. So if you would all stand with me, the words are on the screen, and I want you to sing along with me. And if you'll watch, it's really slow, so we'll just go real slow with it.
Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that the Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, rescue the souls of men. You are.
You can turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Romans. And we'll get there in a little while. This morning I have something on my heart that I'd like to impress upon you. It's a truth that if you learn it, you believe it, and you apply it, it will greatly enhance your Christian walk, your walk with the Lord, your ability to serve the Lord, and your joy. Now, if I were to ask you, how do you describe Christianity? How do you describe Christianity? How do you describe people who are Christians? Most people would talk maybe first about beliefs. Christians are people that believe the Bible. Christians are people that believe in Jesus. Christians are people that believe in the cross. Christians are people that believe in the resurrection. Christians are people that believe in heaven or hell. Those are our beliefs, and there are a lot of others, but those are some of the main ones. Other people might describe Christianity and Christians as actions. Christians are people that attend church. Christians are people that read their Bibles. Christians are people that pray. Christians are people that give money. Christians are people that try to live a more holy, godly life than the general population. Christians are people that do good works, that try to help people, try to minister to people. And there's not a thing wrong with anything that I just said. It all fits together. Those two things of beliefs and actions are good. But there's an element of Christianity that sometimes I don't think we get. We may give it lip service, but do we really apply it to our lives? And it results in us living a little bit below what we could be as Christians. We're going to look at like, I don't know, five or six different places in the book of Romans and see what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. First, Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now there's a word in that that we must not omit. And it's the word power. He says the gospel is a powerful gospel. It's a life-changing gospel. It's a gospel that makes a difference in our lives. One translation has it this way: God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. Power is God's unlimited power unleashed in us through Christ. God's power. Now, last week, what was the theme? The resurrection. It was Easter, the resurrection. And you think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a fella crucified. And his body was so beaten and bruised and the spear in his side and hanging on the cross and everything. No doubt he was dead. And yet in 3 days, he rose again. Now, it's my understanding from the Bible that not only was he in the grave, that technically, spiritually, he was under the control of Satan in hell. And yet God reached down and touched Jesus And the scripture says something to the effect that he trampled the devil coming out of hell. He overcame him, and his body was brought back to life. Now that's power. That's power. That's not one little flashlight batteries. That's power. To reach down and touch and bring Jesus in a resurrected form out of the grave and out of the clutches of Satan. You know, the scripture says if Satan had known what was going to happen, and the Jews and the Romans had known what was going to happen, the Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, sometimes we do things and we don't realize what the end result's going to be. And we say, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Now, maybe you've ever said that, but a few times I've said, well, I wish, now that I see what happened, I wish I hadn't have done. The Bible says if they had known what they were going to get, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. So there's a power there that Paul says that belongs to the gospel. Now, if you go over to Romans 4, let's see, verse 24 and 25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised again for our justification. And that whole passage deals with the fact that Abraham believed God, and that was his faith. And now it talks about our faith in Jesus. And one translation says, but it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life. When the conditions were equally hopeless, the sacrifice Jesus made for us fit for God set us right with God. Another translation says, who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness, will be credited to our account. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, was raised back to life again to prove that he had made us right with God. That power, again, Paul in this fourth chapter talks about that power that Jesus had made us right with God. You know, we can't do enough good works to be right with God. We can't give enough money to be right with God. We can't love enough people to be right with God. There'll never be any way for us to be right with God except that the power of God touches our life, touches our heart, and that power makes us right with God. And that power resides in us. That power resides in us. Now, go on over to Romans chapter 5. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Another translation has it, now we are at peace with God because we share in his resurrection life. We now share in his resurrection life. Still another one has it, will it expand by means of his resurrection life. will expand by his resurrection life. Paul is, once again, he's saying, listen, there's a resurrection life. There's a power that involves and resides in the believer. If you go on over to the sixth chapter, verses 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Think about that. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. We experience a resurrection life like his. We are, another translation, we are raised into a light-filled world by our Father. You see, each of these verses, you know, Paul's got a theme that keeps coming back here in Romans. He keeps saying there's a power, there's a power, there's a resurrection power that lives in the life of the Christian. Enables us to walk, he says, in a newness of life. We're not the person we used to be. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you read the newsletter this week? Some of you did. Story of a young man. I heard it. He was not a young man when I heard him give his testimony. But he said he grew up in an ungodly home, gambling, drinking, and cursing. Filthy filled the air. And he came home from college one day, and this young lady, his classmate, saw him and said, "I want you to go to a James Robinson crusade with me." Now, he didn't want to go, so he went out of town and hid. She chased him down, called him. "You promised you'd go to that crusade with me." Well, reluctantly, he went. That night, he got saved. But on the way home, after she put him out, when they got back to the house, or back to the, you know, his neighborhood, and he was walking home in the dark about midnight, devil says, "Nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's just all emotion. You're not changed." But he said he walked up on the porch in the dark, and it was in the dark, and his mom and dad and their drinking buddies were sitting on that porch, and they were drinking and gambling and cursing. And he said, "For the first time in my life, that felt dirty to me." You see, he was changed. The resurrection power of God had changed this man's heart. All of his life, it's like he'd been in this fog of vulgarity and profanity and ugliness and sinfulness. And that's all he knew. But suddenly, when his heart had been changed by the power of God, that didn't feel right anymore. That felt like sin. That felt ugly. That felt evil. And he knew then that he was saved. Paul keeps hitting on the fact that the resurrection power of God dwells in the life of the believer. And you see, we need to, when we're witnessing, we need to share with people that there's a power available that can change your life. I remember several times as a child, somebody coming to our house and witnessing to my dad. And my dad's usual reply was, "When I think I can live it, I'll become a Christian." Well, see, Dad had it backwards. You won't ever be able to live it until you become a Christian and God's power lives within you. That's the only, it's got to be that way. It's not, well, I feel pretty strong spiritually. I'm going to start living for Jesus. No, it doesn't work that way. I humble myself and say, Jesus, there's no way I can live for you. But I know that you're the Savior, and I know that if I come and confess you as my Lord and Savior, you will come and live within me, and your power within me will enable me to live right. In Romans 6, verse 9 through 13, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now here's, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto righteousness. Paul talks about we died with Christ. We died with Christ. One translation, his resurrection life has vanquished death. We're changed by the power of God. And then it enables us, you know, he puts the burden on us. Reckon, you know, you reconcile like you reconcile your checking account to make sure it balances. He says, count it. Count it as so that you're dead to sin, but alive to God. And as a result, he says, you don't have to let sin reign in your bodies. You don't have to yield your bodies to sinful practices. You can yield your bodies to Christ. You know, we have a choice. Now, according to what Paul writes in Ephesians, he said that lost person, he's under the control of the devil and there's not much he can do about it. He may do a few good things or stop something or other, but he's under the control of the devil and his devil rules his life. But here Paul is saying, once the power of God touches your life, there's a power within you that says, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm going to forgive that person that hates me. I'm going to love that person that doesn't love me. I'm going to stop doing that sin. And I'm going to yield to the Lord, and I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do good things. It's my choice. It's your choice. And Paul is saying over and over and over again, it is the power of God in us that makes the difference. Going over to chapter 7. And maybe we'll start with verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And he goes on and says, folks, I got a struggle. I have a struggle, and most of us understand that struggle. Paul says, I want to do good, and I find out I blow it. And I don't want to do bad, and I find out that I blow it. He said, there's a struggle in my life to always do what's right and not to do what's wrong. And most of us have that same struggle. At times, we just, you know, I just know I need to do that. But we don't. I know I need to call so-and-so. But 2 days later, we haven't called them. I know I need to change this habit. 5 years later, we haven't. Paul says there's a struggle. And then he asks the question, in verse 24, well, let's go back to verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my memories. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, who's going to deliver me from this dilemma of doing what's wrong when I don't want to and doing what's right like I ought to? He said, how do I get out of this mess? And that's the question we ask. But Paul answers it. I thank God through our Jesus Christ, our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul says, we make a choice. We make a choice that because of the power of God within us, Jesus. In verse 11 of chapter 8, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth within you. Again, Paul comes back to that mighty power of the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave on Easter morning. And he says, if that Holy Spirit lives within you, if that power, that resurrection power lives within you, then he's going to make your body alive. He's going to make your body powerful. He's going to make you different. Over and over in all of these verses, in one way or other, it's clearer in some translations than in others, but over and over, Paul makes the same point. Folks, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you see, we can live the Christian life on the level of what I believe and what I know and how I practice it. But folks, there's a deeper level, and that's living the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's living the Christian life in the power of God. When we allow, when we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, when we allow him to work in us, when we allow him to work through us, our lives begin to radically change. We struggle at times, sure, but we emerge victorious. True Christianity is more than what we believe. True Christianity involves a power. Read the book of Acts over and over and over again. And you see, the thing that astonished the world was when Christians showed up, things changed. Sick folks were made well. Demons were expelled. Idol worshipers dropped because the power of God was available. You know, in one of the accounts, it says that they brought all their witchcraft and sorcery and idolatry materials and books and burned them, and it was worth, I think now in American dollars, millions of dollars worth of stuff. A lot of stuff. And it was such that the idol makers started a riot, said, we're going broke. We had a nice little business going, creating these little idols that we were selling, and all of a sudden Paul and his bunch have come to town and said, those things have no power, but we introduce you to a God that has power. And folks aren't buying our stuff anymore. We got to get rid of those before we all go completely broke. It's not just what we think. It's not just what we believe. But the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is that there is a power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that changes our lives. And you see, when you are talking to somebody, witnessing to somebody, it's not just a matter of getting them to accept mentally what you believe, what you understand. It's a matter of introducing them to a powerful, powerful Savior who can transform their life. And when Jesus comes in, we're different. If we're not different, we're missing something. If there's no power in us, we're missing something. And that can be exhibited in so many ways. Sometimes it's just exhibited in a phone call and somebody says, I can't believe you called me today. I'm hurting so bad. And yet you called me. Or showing up on their doorstep and they said, how did you know I needed you tonight? How did you know I needed you tonight? Someone has a broken heart and you introduce them to Jesus and the power changes their life. I know Brother Jim, and probably most of you recognize what a difference it is when you show up at a funeral and the deceased knows Jesus. As versus when you show up for a funeral and you're pretty sure that the deceased has gone to hell. The whole atmosphere in the building is totally different. And when you stand back here and try to preach and you know that person's in heaven, oh man, there's a joy. And when you're pretty sure that person's gone to hell, it's a struggle. What can I say? What can I say? There's a power of God available. Don't be satisfied to live with a bare minimum bones Christianity. Be so yielded to the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's what Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection. And he met with them several times. And then you read, he says, you wait in Jerusalem until the promise of God comes, the power of God comes, and then you shall be witnesses. Then you shall be witnesses. Because they witnessed out of the indwelling power of God's Spirit. And that's when they turned the world upside down. And folks, I encourage you, be so yielded to the Spirit of God, be so yielded to the Spirit of God that the power which is available flows through you. Now I could go over here and flip all these light switches and the light would go off. The power's available to turn them on. And we could sit here in the dark till Jesus comes. When all we got to do is just go over and flip the switches and the lights come on. And you can serve out your life with the lights off. Or you can serve out your life serving the Lord with the power of God flowing through you. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's a powerful gospel. I encourage you this morning to embrace the powerful gospel, the gospel of the resurrection, the gospel of Easter, the gospel that's available to every one of us. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In just a moment, there'll be some music playing. If you'll walk down here and share with me, if there's somebody that needs to become a part of our church fellowship, the transfer of your letter, we invite you to come. If you need to just come to the altar and say, Lord, just fill me with your presence, fill me with your power, that I might effectively serve you in a more wonderful way than I have been. As the music plays, would you come? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, aren't you glad that you don't have to pretty yourself up to come to Jesus? Aren't you glad that all you have to do is just come as you are, be accepted as you are, and then God's power changes you to how God wants you to be. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.